Bomani Jones from ESPN joins us on the Alan Kelly and Company Train Hotline. The Golden State Warriors, according to Steve Kerr, are spiritually banged up. Can you make sense for, I don't know, maybe Joe and I haven't done it adequately enough. Can you make sense of what that situation must be like to those players and how real the spiritual injuries may be?
Well, I have to say that you had a pretty good segue there from, you know, NC State fanhood to being spiritually banged up. Like, I felt like that, like, I was honestly listening to you talk about that, and, like, I did a radio show in that market for a year and a half. I had literally one day to talk to happy NC State football fans, and that was after they beat Carolina in 08, and they were the happiest people I'd ever seen. The Warriors, as things stand presently, are the least happy people that I have ever seen. He get all metaphysical with it. The bottom line is this, at least this is how it reads from where I stand. They tired of Draymond, man. Like, it's not as though Kevin Durant is the only person that Draymond screams at like this. He called Steve Kerr the B word that one time. Like, this is how he gets down. And he's one of those people that does this and then he shakes it off because it's just normal to him, but not everybody is really here for being screamed on. So, like, when I hear him say that they are spiritually banged up, it feels like only one person is really doing the banging.
But does Draymond have a point? Or does it matter?
He kind of does, right? So he absolutely was wrong in choosing that as the opportunity to come back and bring up these issues, because he did it at a time where he was 100% undeniably in the wrong. He should have passed the ball, and Durant did not come at him ridiculously. What he did, though, was hit Draymond in a bit of a sensitive place, because Draymond's like, wait a minute, you think you better than me? Draymond's the guy that brought Kevin Durant in. Draymond is also the guy who is at once not only sacrificed shots since Kevin Durant has gotten there, but also hasn't been as good at shooting them since he got there, which may in part be a function of the fact that he does not shoot as much. But I think Draymond sees himself as the guy that put this whole thing together. And, I mean, pretty much everybody believes that Kevin Durant is going to leave. But that ain't got nothing to do with right now.
And the other interesting aspect of this, and Bomani Jones joining us up in New York, ESPN, high noon, 4 o'clock on ESPN, right time of Bomani Jones is the podcast. You know, it's no secret that ownership is hell-bent on trying to find a way to keep Kevin Durant on that roster, because they've got a building that they paid billions for, because San Francisco was not going to pony up any tax incentives for this. And they want to make sure that this party's still rolling when they're opening up a new building. I mean, they just got done selling $100, all you can do is get in the building, you cannot see the court tickets. So Durant's key to that.
Yeah, you know, I know they see it that way, but I disagree with the idea that he is key to it, at least in the beginning, right? Like, there's always a time when the novelty of the new arena wears off, but I think that time with the novelty of the new arena wears off is going to be after Kevin Durant would have been gone by then anyway. They're going to move into that arena next year with much fanfare no matter what, because the star of that show is Steph Curry. The star of that show is not Kevin Durant. So I get the idea that we just want everything to be as good as it can possibly be, but I also feel like, hey, man, any organization that is asked to make the choice between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green is going to wind up choosing Kevin Durant. Like, that's it's going to be. Yeah, the only thing I say, though, is I don't know if they can play the way they've played without Draymond Green. Like, the versatility that he provides defensively allows you to hide Steph Curry. And so I don't know what the replacement is that you make for him. Now, they won a championship without Kevin Durant, but that came with a great weakness. They only had one guy on the whole team that could get his own shot. Harrison Barnes was not the guy that could get that done. So if you could find another small forward that could get his own shot, I think the Warriors are still a championship team. I think it's easier to find that guy than it is to find the guy that can do all the things that Draymond can do.
And the other thing about this, and maybe we'll wrap on the Warriors after this, is that the dynamic between Durant and the rest of that team, if you believe the stuff that you've read or from people who are around that program, is that Green isn't the only one that's been bothered by the way Durant has handled the early stages of this season as it pertains to the future free agency. That other players in that locker room are also bothered by it. Green was just the one that voiced it.
Yeah, but I think the other part of that is that Kevin Durant's not the only person tired of Draymond Green hollering at them.
Yeah.
That's why I think this becomes extra weird, right? Like, it's like the two cats that ain't nobody really rocking with are having an argument with each other. The other thing I do think is interesting about the Warriors, though, is, dude, they are all the way bought in on the notion of the Warriors. Like, they were in at the beginning of this. They love it. They want to stay. Klay Thompson, he wants to stay there forever. Draymond Green, he wants to stay there forever. Steph Curry just signed a five-year extension. Kevin Durant, I don't know. We'll see.
Kevin Durant is Yoko. I believe that's how I'm hearing this right now. Bomani Jones joining us from New York. High Noon is the show. Right Time is the podcast. Moving over to coaches doing silly things. We had two instances of it in the last 24 hours. One is Major Applewhite deciding, hey, I would appreciate it if the players who are playing get these jackets. You, Ed Oliver, despite the fact that you're awesome and you've done a lot of cool things and you've been an exemplary player, you can't wear one. I don't care if it's 50 degrees outside or not. And you also have Matt Patricia, even though they got four games inside the dome coming up, including the Panthers on Sunday, decided to trot his players out in the snow for practice for no good reason. Why do coaches do this?
So I think the Major and Ed Oliver situation is infinitely more fascinating. Matt Patricia just appears to be a dislikable fellow who won't be working his job very long because it sounds like his players don't take him seriously.
No.
Now, I don't know how far back everyone else goes with the Ed Oliver story, but Ed Oliver was the first five-star commit to ever go to a school outside of the Power Five. What happened? Tom Herman recruited him during that year that they went undefeated. Tom Herman was selling this idea that we can make the University of Houston what the University of Miami was, this local program where we get all the guys who were from here and we set the world on fire. Herman also hired Ed Oliver's high school coach to be on the staff. Both Tom Herman and the high school coach now work at the University of Texas. Ed Oliver is still at the University of Houston, okay? So he has missed this stretch of games with his knee injury, and you have to remember that Ed declared for the draft in March, right? There's no mystery as to what is going on here, where his focus is. Now, how injured is he? I'm not in a position to say. I don't know. But Major Applewhite was asked for that game if Ed was going to play, and he said basically it's up to Ed. So you take from that what you will about the way the coaching staff feels about what Ed Oliver has done. Now, you put all that stuff together, and then you get to this thing about the jackets, where, by the way, there is an argument to be made that Ed Oliver should not be wearing a jacket. Those jackets are for guys who are actually playing in the game. I get that. You should have brought your own jacket if you were cold. I also love the fact that it is so Houston that it's 50 degrees, and we're talking about bubble coats. Now, if Major had simply said, nah, man, this jacket thing isn't going to work, we're not having this discussion. The fact that he went so far as to physically take the jacket off of him, that's a strange power trip to try to go on, man. Like, I feel like everybody involved in this must be really sick of each other for reasons that had little to do with that jacket.
Yeah, to me, he's not going to play. He's like, I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with playing college football for free. I'm going to save myself for the draft.
The jacket conversation could have waited till
I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. I didn't sign up to play for Major Applewhite. You know, like, that ain't what I'm here for. He's too young to care who Major Applewhite is, right? Like, Major Applewhite is a big deal in Texas. Not in a way that Ed Oliver cares about. He was born, if I'm not mistaken, in, like, 1999.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember Applewhite was actually doing sports talk radio for a bit.
Oh, was he?
In between his college stint. I guess he dabbled in the pros, if I'm not mistaken, and then he did some radio in Austin.
No,
he never went to the pros,
Major,
right?
Major ain't getting
like
no
not even like
pros.
A practice squad.
Major is not,
okay, that's right. I couldn't remember. I just remember.
Yeah, he's not of the height to do that. Was Saban's first offensive coordinator at Alabama, and then they got him out of there after 1 year, and then he wound up coming back home. And you're welcome to look up in his Wikipedia page part of some of the circumstances surrounding his departure from the program.
Right,
but he landed in Houston because he's Major Applewhite.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, I know that things get different when you get money, but have you ever left, a $50,000 purchase in your very expensive car with the door unlocked?
Are you referring to Hassan Whiteside's M16 in his $400,000 Rolls Royce?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever read. And it appears that he at first said that it was stolen from him at the University of Miami, and it appears that somebody then was like, hey, you know you're not supposed to have a gun at a college. My bad, it was stolen before then. Or whatever in the world.
Let's cover our tracks.
You left, yeah, you, like, it, you left your Rolls Royce unlocked.
Right.
Are you serious?
That's the first part.
That, to me, that whole headline is peak Miami, if you ask me, in the grand scheme of things.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
some collector
way,
item.
I feel like you are fake. Yeah, you're faking the funk if you're driving your own Rolls Royce, by the way. If you can't afford the driver for your Rolls Royce, you shouldn't get a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, if you have one, you have one.
I mean, you
sure
might as well splurge all the way and get yourself a driver. Come on now.
Yeah. Is Les Miles the right hire for now for Kansas?
He'll win a press conference, right? Like, that is the thing, is that Les will win the press conference. But this is a stupid idea. Les Miles, and I like Les Miles, and I think that Les Miles was a good coach at LSU overall in his tenure. But Les is one of those coaches where if you give him the best talent, he's really good at doing that. I don't feel like you could play Les Miles football in the Big 12. Like, can you imagine when they explained to him all the spread? Now, think about why he got fired at LSU, because the offense is too bland and vanilla. What the hell is he going to run at Kansas?
Right.
Yeah.
Here's why I think it's a good hire. They're not going to win enough games at Kansas with Les Miles to become relevant, to become ranked, to go to bowl games. Maybe they sneak into a middling bowl game at 6-6. But Miles, at least initially, will lend an air of legitimacy to the program. Maybe they can get some fundraising traction, and then the next guy will be the guy to maybe put some energy and recruiting and maybe win some games.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think the Big 12 needs a coach who is harmless fun. Like, Mike Gundy can be fun, but he doesn't feel so harmless anymore. Like, college football doesn't have nearly as many harmlessly fun coaches as it used to. And part of the fun of this game is harmlessly fun coaches. So, like Dana Holgerson, for example, I would count him as harmlessly fun. We need more.
Although dog track, he's a big dog track guy. Didn't they eliminate the dog tracks in Florida, Joe? I think they voted him down.
Did they vote him down?
I think on election night voted down the dog tracks.
As long as Dania Hylai still exists, then everything is right in the world.
I believe so.
Last thing for Bomani Jones. Yeah, Dania Hylai still there. Okay, good. Last thing before we go, Westgate in Las Vegas installed Duke 2018 with Zion, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Trey Jones, and the crew as 7.5-point favorites in an imaginary matchup with the 1991 Michigan Fab Five team. Who you got?
Oh, boy. We're really doing this, huh? Yeah, I mean, dude, the Zion thing is amazing, though. Like, it's a great confluence of circumstances for him, too. Because if he wanted to go to the school, Krzyzewski's been selling these boys on, you can put your brand with my brand and we can make magic. And most of them don't have brands enough to make it happen, except Zion does. And so this is going to be all over the place. And he has exceeded every expectation I had. Because every time I'd seen clips of Zion playing basketball, I mean, you saw them high school clips, man. It was with a bunch of kids that shouldn't have been allowed to be on the same floor as him. Like it was ridiculous. And now it looks the exact same playing high level.
It does. It looks the same. What's the difference?
The conversation
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just the conversation that's been popping up, though, is like, look, the freakish nature of it. He's 287, 6-whatever, and he was looking down at the rim. His eyes were above the rim in that dunk against Eastern Michigan. Every so often, we see guys that you look at their physique, and it defies what you would expect. Like, Julius Peppers has been coming back up in conversation about, well, you know, Julius Peppers was like this on the basketball court. He was, in the sense that somebody that big moving like that was an eye-opener. But Peppers was not Zion.
He was their best player, arguably. Maybe
Joe Forte was their best player.
But he was a really good player, but he's not the freak of nature the way Zion, who has legit skills.
Yeah, no, like that is – The thing with Zion, I wonder ultimately, is he's probably going to drop weight, right? And once that happens, he's probably going to be even more explosive. There's no use for him to be 285 pounds on a basketball court. There's got to be a better way to do it. The NBA question for him is going to be, like, he's got a good college handle. Like, he's got enough handle to play on the perimeter against college players and take them to the rack. I don't know how that's going to work in the NBA. Like, he'll need to tighten that part up to be able to have that inside-outside element. But when's the last time we had a legitimate college basketball phenomenon? Like, an individual player who was a legitimate phenomenon from day, like, from the start of the season all the way through. I can't think of one, honestly, since Tim Duncan.
Well, I was going to say Durant.
But Durant, like, we kind of knew about Durant, and then America kind of had to learn about him through the year. Like, if you were in a place where you paid attention to his recruitment, then it built to a point where we knew what it was, right? And it was him and
Odin, example,
you know, and the whole thought.
Every example that I've had would be somebody that would blow up in the tournament 1 year, and then they kind of – like Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry blew up in the NCAA tournament, and then he came back for his senior year, but it wasn't – I mean, people were like, hey, what's Steph Curry up to today? But it's not at the explosive level that we're seeing at a Zion.
Start to finish.
This dude is a star already in a way that Steph Curry was not a star when he got done at Davidson.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. All right, we'll talk to you next week, sir. Happy Thanksgiving
in advance.
All right,
man, you guys be good.
You got it,
Bobby Jones. You got it, man. Y'all be good.